I'm going to ask you to turn. I have a handout that's in front of you. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the little page that's on the back of the handout. It has two sides to it. I want you to look at the side that on the top says, "The Congregation at Prayer, Propers for Daily Prayer for the Week of Pentecost 22. One of them says 23. The other side says 22. Look at the side that says 22. And you'll see on that little sheet of paper, it's actually a bulletin insert from our bulletin at Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterville. You'll see down towards the bottom two verses of a hymn. And I'm going to ask you to join with me in singing those two verses. It's a familiar hymn, "Salvation Unto Us Has Come." It is the appointed hymn of the day for the Reformation. Let's join in singing it. We don't have an instrument, but we'll use the instrument God created us with, our voices. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our Jesus' cross alone, and rests in Him unceasing, and by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith living. Thank you. I am Pastor David Mummy from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterville, and I've been asked to present to you on how do I do family devotions or individual devotions or for devotions for a husband and a wife. Some of you have probably been doing devotions longer than I have been alive and could teach me a thing or two about doing devotions. So I certainly want to start by saying there are many ways to do devotions yourself or in your household. I'm going to suggest or make some suggestions, but that does not mean that what I suggest is the only way to do so. It looks like I have a long handout, but we'll work our way through it rather quickly. First things first, I want to echo what Dr. McPherson said in his presentation. The Christian life flows from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, from Sunday to Sunday, from divine service to divine service. Nothing is more important than that we Christians devote ourselves to the Lord's Word and Sacrament in the divine service. It is the starting point and the ongoing high point of our devotional life as Christians. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to say, without devotion to the Lord's Word and Sacrament in the divine service of a specific congregation, any other devotional life is an offense to God. And what I mean by that is this, God has commanded that we gather together as His people to hear His Word and to receive His Supper. If we are intentionally, I realize that there are sometimes things, work and other activities, that keep us from time to time from the divine service, but if we intentionally avoid or neglect the divine service, then we are we are contradicting the Word of God, and any other devotional life that we then try, we are doing as a substitute to what God has commanded. Our devotional life is a supplement to, it's what takes us from Sunday to Sunday, from divine service to divine service. I asked on the sheet, what is a devotion? What is a devotion? And I looked in the dictionary for a partial definition. A devotion is time and energy you devote to hearing, reading, and meditating on God's Word and to prayer. That's what devotions are. But devotions only help if you actually do them. They're funny that way, aren't they? You won't do them unless you actually devote time and energy to them. Which is to say, it takes effort to get your family together, or to sit down with your husband or your wife. Or, if you're living on your own, to have the self-discipline to make time and set aside a time for the reading of God's Word and for prayer. So how do I get started? First of all, devote yourself to daily Bible reading and prayer, which is to say, you start. That's how you get started. You start. Do you not have time? This is something that people in the modern world, it used to take a full day to do laundry. It used to take a full day to bake bread. We have modern conveniences that take away a lot of the full day activities that existed 50 years ago or 100 years ago. And yet we often don't do devotions because we don't have time. My answer to that is, if you don't have time, you are too busy. God's Word and prayer are more important than most of the other things that we spend our time on, so make time for it. Another reason, though, that people don't do devotions is simply because they don't want to. They really don't see the advantage of it. They don't see what it's going to accomplish. And I think the solution to that is to repent. Make this a priority in your life and recognize that it is not a burden or a chore, but a gift of God. Because in devoting yourself to God's Word, you are reaping the benefits of God's Word. So, choose a time of the day. For example, when you get up, before or after lunch, 7 p.m., before bed, everyone's schedule is different. Choose a time of the day that works for you and your marriage and your family. It doesn't have to take more than 10 or 15 minutes a day, but make it the same 10 or 15 minutes a day. Choose a time when your spouse and your children will be able to join you. Establish a routine and stick to it. Make daily devotions a habit. It is, of course, common for us to pick up bad habits, right? Bad habits seem easy to pick up. Good habits are hard to pick up. The way to establish a good habit is to stick with it. Even when you don't feel like it, to stick with it. And if you say, well, I'll do that when I get around to it, you'll end up with an exercise program like my exercise program. I'll exercise when I get around to it. How often do I exercise? Not very often. Set aside a specific time and establish a routine. Next, choose a place, a quiet place, free from distractions. And perhaps you have to actually make such a place, because there isn't such a place in your house now. A comfortable place, an inviting place. Turn off the TV and the radio. Stay away from the computer, your iPad, if you're like me. or your cell phone. Close the door if it will help you to be less distracted, and ignore the telephone. You probably have an answering machine or voicemail. Whoever it is who's calling can probably wait 10 or 15 minutes for you to return their phone call. Next, choose your resources. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, but one of the things I would say is today there is a wide, great variety of resources that are available to you to help you in your devotional life. That's a wonderful thing. We're living in a good time for such things. Choose a plan. Again, if I were to say I'm going to start an exercise program and I'll do it when I get around to it, I won't get around to it. And if I say I'll do whatever I feel like doing on that day, I won't feel like exercising on that day. Which is to say, we need a routine, we need a plan, we need an idea of where to begin and where we're going. If you just do as the Spirit moves you, you will end up doing nothing. I'll talk more about a few plans in a minute. And finally, stick to it. There will be days when you miss it because life intruded. Because, like me, you were lazy or sinful or sick, don't worry or let that cause you total failure. Remember that Jesus died to pay for your sins, for your laziness. Simply start again at the right place. And don't try to do too much. Don't say, I'm going to begin by reading 5 chapters every morning and praying a psalm and reading a commentary. If you stack up too much material when you're starting something, you're setting yourself up for failure. It's better to do something, however small, than to set yourself up for a failure or guilt. You can always add to what you're doing, so begin in a way that will encourage you to continue. What resources should I use? Dr. McPherson already pointed us, I think, in the right direction here. There are 3 foundational books for Lutheran Christians: the Bible, the Catechism, and the Hymnal. This is a good place to start. In fact, it's a good place to continue your whole life through. So, turn the page. The Bible. Sometimes you see we make this out to be harder than it actually is. The Bible is the Word of God. It is living and powerful. It does what it says, and it gives what it declares. It accomplishes the purpose for which God gives it. Its law accuses us and condemns us of our sins. Its gospel absolves us and comforts us. It gives us Jesus and all his gifts. It is holy and it makes us holy. It is true, it is good, it is beautiful. It is about Jesus and it is about you. If you have young children, as I said, there are many wonderful resources available to you. Today I feel like I'm a salesman for Concordia Publishing House. I don't get a commission from Concordia Publishing House. But I do think there are some wonderful resources that are in print today that can help families to learn and read and study the Word of God together. A nice Bible story book with big pictures, and in it prayers that go with the scripture readings, things to ask, things to do. do. Very, very nice. And by the way, if your children go to a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, they'll see these same pictures in the CPH Sunday School material in this book that they would see in Sunday School as well. If you have a little older children, there's a book like 100 Bible Stories. There's another book called Bible History, which has actually been in publishing for many, many years. I think the Palms have an older copy back there. For a junior high kid or a teenager, this is a full Bible. It's called the Faith Alive Student Bible and has some wonderful resources which will help a child who is growing up to begin to read the Word itself. Now, in italics there, God's Word must lie at the center of our devotional life. Devotional meditations, that is something that someone has written about a Bible verse, are good, but God's Word is better. Read a section of the Bible, and I'm going to suggest out loud each and every day. That doesn't mean you can't read a devotional meditation also, but make sure that you are reading the Bible as the center of your devotional life. The second book that's foundational for Lutheran Christians is Luther's Small Catechism. Luther's Small Catechism is a handbook for the Bible. It teaches you how to read and how to understand the Bible. No matter how old you are or how young you are, you should be reading and praying and learning by heart and relearning by heart the Catechism. Because if you know the Catechism well, you will understand the Bible well. And if you do not know the Catechism well, you will likely not understand the Bible well. The Catechism gives you a reference or a blueprint with which to read the Scriptures, to look for God's law in what you are reading, from your knowledge of the Ten Commandments, to look for the Gospel from the Apostles' Creed, to learn to look for the references for baptism, for confession, and for the Lord's Supper, and how these things are the very means through which God gives us His gifts. So you're not too old, and you're not too young to review and to relearn the Catechism. I bet most of you have a book. It maybe is a blue book instead of a maroon book. Do any of you have an old maroon book that has the Catechism in German in it? Or that has German on one side and English on the other? I have catechisms in my study like that were my parents' and grandparents' catechisms. If you have a catechism on your shelf, don't think of it as something that was when you were in 7th or 8th grade. Use it in your devotional life on a daily basis. I'll talk a little bit about how in a minute. Review a small section of the Catechism each and every week. Say it out loud a number of times each day. Think about what it is saying. Learn it by heart. The third book that is foundational for a Lutheran Christian is the hymnal. And I want to say, you are a Lutheran Christian, and thus a liturgical Christian. Accept that and embrace that as a good gift of God. The hymnal is God's Word in action. It's God's Word set to music. It's God's Word that is applied to you in real time. It delivers God's gifts to you. It teaches you how to receive those gifts, how to pray, how to praise, and how to give thanks to God. The hymnal is a prayer book. and a devotional book, it is not just for Sunday mornings. Do any of you remember when the hymnal was much smaller and often was brought from home to church when you came to church on a Sunday morning and then taken back home with you when you went home? Anybody remember that? Yes. My family and I spent a few weeks in Germany last year, and the German hymnal is very much like that. It's a very small book, and if you go to the church in Germany, they don't have hymnals in the pews. They have a few extras for visitors like us, but people bring their hymnal with them when they come to church. They sing out of their hymnal, and then they take their hymnal back home with them and use it, hopefully, as a devotional resource in their home. So, buy a hymnal if you don't have one. And it doesn't have to be the LSB. It should be, though, probably whatever hymnal your church uses, although it wouldn't have to be. It could be, I grew up using the Lutheran hymnal, the old hymnal that was published in 1941. Some of you grew up with the blue hymnal. But buy a hymnal and use it in your home. Sing hymns in your home. Ask your pastor what the hymn of the day will be on the coming Sunday and sing it each day in your home. Learn a stanza or two by heart. Teach it to your children. Teach them how to follow along and participate in the divine service. Show them how to do this by your example in the pew. How to do that, we'll talk about again in a little bit. I put as an aside here something Pastor Palm also mentioned. My advice is, don't spend your valuable time teaching your children something they will quickly grow out of, but instead, good solid things that they will spend the rest of their life growing into. When my wife and I, when I was at seminary, our fourth year, we had a speaker come in and talk to us about our devotional life in the home. And his suggestion was to do what I've just been telling you, which basically means that I've stolen my presentation from him. He said, learn a Bible verse each week. Learn a section of the catechism each week. Sing a couple verses of a hymn each week in your home, around the dinner table. And my wife and I had a child who was a few months old and another child who was on the way. And, oh, two. Okay. Fathers aren't good at remembering such details. And that's what we began to do. And our children at that time were not old enough to speak the words of the Bible verse or speak the words of the catechism or read and sing the hymn. But as we continued to do so, day after day, week after week, year after year, they grew into those things. And before they were able to read, they were already knowing Bible verses by heart and the sections of the catechism by heart and hymn verses by heart. So that when we would come to church on a Sunday, they didn't feel like they were children who were not involved, but they recognized hymns. They recognized the parts of the liturgy and were able to participate in them. So don't spend your time, which is valuable, teaching your kids things that, you know, that they're going to grow out of. I would rather, when I buy clothing for my kids, we tend to buy a size up so that they'll grow into them and we'll be able to wear them for a while. And I would recommend the same thing when it comes to teaching your children the faith. How do I pray? If devotion is devoting time and energy to the reading of God's Word and to prayer, how do I pray? use the same three resources, the Bible, the catechism, and the hymnal, and perhaps also a good Lutheran prayer or devotional book. Pray out loud. Do you sense a little theme running through my presentation? Read the scriptures out loud. Recite the catechism out loud. Pray out loud. If you have a family, that's great. Do that. If it's just you and your spouse, continue to do that. In fact, I would say if it's just you in your house and you're doing your daily devotions, read it out loud. Read it out loud. And this is why. If you're reading words off of a page, you're really only engaging a small part of your brain. You're using your eyes, your vision, to read. You're thinking about it in your head. But if you speak those words out loud, you are also engaging your mouth. You're not just reading it in your head, you're having to process it to speak it out loud. And guess what happens when you speak out loud? The words circle around and enter your ears. And so those words are hitting you in yet another way. By your vision, by your speaking, by your hearing, and by your thinking. And you will remember the Word of God better if you hear it out loud. Pray as though God were listening, because He is. Pray with faith in His promises, confidence in His mercy, and boldness as His dear child. At a minimum, Christians ought to pray in the morning, in the evening, and at the dinner table. Make that a routine and a habit. Habits are dangerous, aren't they? Because it is possible to get in the habit of praying, for instance, at the dinner table, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." How many of you are used to praying that prayer? A lot of us. That's a good prayer to pray at the dinner table. A habit can be somewhat dangerous because it's easy to fall into a habit and then not think about what it is that you are saying. And that's something we have to fight against in our own heart and in our own life. But having no habit at all is even more dangerous. Because if you're not praying at all, and I would suggest if you don't make prayer a habit, you won't pray much at all. Having it as a habit at least allows you to think about what you're saying and to pray to the Lord with confidence in His mercy. Now, three books, again, are foundational for our prayers. The Bible. Pray the Lord's Prayer. When you don't know what else to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said to His disciples, "When you pray, say," and then He didn't give them a set of directions on how to pray. He gave them the actual words of a prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Use that prayer in your home. Pray it out loud. Pray it out loud repeatedly throughout the day. Something else I wanted to say about that. Let's see if it comes back. The Lord's Prayer itself shows you that it's meant to be prayed daily. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? We say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus would not have taught us to pray for our daily bread if He did not intend us to pray that prayer each day. Also, ask your pastor what the appointed psalm is for the week, and then pray it each day, out loud, in unison, or half verse by half verse, or whole verse by whole verse. How many of you know that each week, with the readings on a Sunday, there is a psalm that is appointed to be read on that Sunday? A few. That that psalm is a good resource for you. It's a good resource for you because it gives you direction. What should I pray this week? What psalm should I read and think about as I go through my week? Take that psalm that's appointed for the Sunday and use it each day during the week. Number two, use your catechism. Take a look at this blue sheet that I put on your, that I had my children put on your table. This is from Luther's Small Catechism, from the section that's labeled Daily Prayers. So it says how the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening. The Catechism says, in the morning when you get up and in the evening when you go to bed, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Remember who you are, in other words. You are a baptized child of God. Then, kneeling or standing, repeat the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. At the bottom of that page, in the morning, if you choose, you may also say this little prayer, Luther's morning prayer. On the back, in the evening, if you choose, you may also say this little prayer, Luther's evening prayer. And then go joyfully to your work, singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments or whatever your devotion may suggest, or then go to sleep at once and in good cheer. That's Luther's advice in the Catechism for your daily life of prayer. Luther also suggests some meal prayers. They are not the Come Lord Jesus prayers that I grew up praying. I put those prayers also on the bottom of this sheet. Perhaps if it is easy for you to fall into the habit of not thinking about what you are praying when you pray at the dinner table, I would suggest you alternate. Use the prayers from the Small Catechism, which probably aren't as familiar to you some days. Use the Common Table Prayer other days, and that way you'll be praying at the table, but it will be fresh. You won't be as likely to fall into the habit of not thinking about what it is that you are praying. I make up these cards. Actually, my dear secretary makes up these cards in the fall each year, and I give them to the families of the children who are in our catechism program at Waterville, and I instruct them, I teach them to use these. It's helpful for me to see something that reminds me to do something. So if you print up cards like this, put them on your table, it helps to remember to pray when you sit down at the table. Or if you have no difficulty remembering to pray at the table, put this by your bedside, and that will be a good reminder to you to pray in the evening when you go to bed and in the morning when you wake up. Help yourself by reminding yourself to pray. In my opinion, I write here, this is the most neglected thing in the catechism. I went to Lutheran grade school, wonderful Lutheran grade school. I then went to 4 years of Lutheran high school. I then went to 4 years of a Missouri Synod college. And it really wasn't until I was in seminary that I discovered Luther's daily prayers. I don't understand how that's possible. I had a great pastor and good teachers all the way through, but this was just never highlighted when I was in catechism class. It was really never used as a part of our life together as Christians. So use Luther's suggestions in the catechism in your daily life of prayer. The final book is the hymnal. As Dr. McPherson also mentioned, the hymnal is full of excellent collects for any occasion that can and should be prayed by Christians in their devotional life.